Amen. Good evening, everyone. How's everyone doing? It was a great worship time together. It was really good. We have to flip the switch, please. Thank you. Okay, I have a topic for tonight. Yeah, it's going to get exciting really, really quick. So, you know, hold on to your hats. Okay, the topic that I'm actually talking about tonight is that it's been on my heart to talk about the heart itself. This is a clip that one of the guys on my course at uni, he found, and we all thought it was absolutely hilarious, but it really spoke to me. I think it spoke to a lot of us. And I just hope that it's going to work. Power, that usually helps. I'm an ex-electrician, so I should know that. Okay, looks like it's not going to work. Oh, we're going to try again. Hopefully this is not a sign of things to come for the evening. Hopefully my talk will go well. Brilliant, yay! Okay, right. Get ready for this.
You can't stop it. It's coming to a town near you. You can't stop it. It's coming to a town near you. It used to be called contemporary. Some call it relevant. We're so cool, we call it contemporary.
I'm not sure if we're supposed to applaud that, to be honest. Oh, I prepared for this. I've never done this before, so. Yeah, so I just thought this clip was really interesting, and it really spoke to me for so many different reasons, mainly because I do think that it shows a lot of the church. I'm not just talking about this big, light, flashy church, but just the church in general, the fact that we actually have a problem. Would anyone agree that we actually have a problem in the church, not a church in the problem? We have a problem in the church. We have a problem in the world. Anyone be bold enough to say what that problem may be? Only joking, you don't have to. No. But there is a problem in the world, and that problem is called sin. You know, no one would deny the fact that there is actually a problem with us. Freud says it's because of our primal urges. Carl Jung, another psychologist, says it's because of our racial history. The Bible explains it slightly differently. If you look back in Genesis, you see how creation and God made everything and it was good. And then man decided to get a little bit too big for his boots and there was a problem and he rebelled against God. And so you got a cross here. I'm not idolizing, I'm just looking at it for a second. So when we're in obedience to God, when we're doing what God wants, we're looking at the cross. But when we're not in obedience, we're in sin, and we got our back to God. We turned our back away from God. And this is what Adam did back in the Garden of Eden. He actually turned his back on God. And through that, we have all been cursed. We all have a problem. The psalmist wrote that we are wicked from our mother's womb. That's a strong statement to make, but that's what happened. Proverbs 20 verse 9 says, "Who can say, I have kept my heart pure? I am clean and without sin." I can't. I'm a sinner. I've made so many mistakes. But you know that in the Bible, there's around 900 times the word the heart is actually mentioned, 77 times in Proverbs alone. So it's important. It's a really important thing. And I know that with the brain, with the heart, you know, we look at the heart and we think, actually, no, wait a sec, it's the brain that controls all the neurological impulses and why we think and stuff like that. But we always look at the heart. And you hear it in the world. It's like, you know, we need to get to the heart of the problem. You know, where's your heart in this? You know, we celebrate it. We actually have a holiday that glorifies the heart. It's called Valentine's Day. I actually forgot to get my wife a card this year. But I tried to do something romantic a few weeks early, but they didn't actually have any I love you cards. It was all Valentine's cards. So I actually got put notes and stuff all over just to be a bit romantic before you judge me. I tried anyway. So, you know, in the world, the heart is, you know, it's a big theme. And in Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." So that's, to me, that just says the fact that the heart is significant because it's the center. We look at it as the center. Some people may say the soul or the spirit, but it's the center of our being, the center of who we are. And, you know, we need to guard it, for everything we do flows out of it. It's an outpouring. You know, we have this this fearing culture that if we have a problem, we need to modify the problem. You know, say if you have a drinking problem, you know, you need to do your 10 steps and you'll be free from it. Or if you have a lust problem and you're addicted to pornography or something like that, you have to get an accountability partner and you work through that and then you're free of it. But I think there's more to it than actually just behavior modification, actually just changing the way that something is. I think that there's something that's more because it's coming from deep within. I was at a healing retreat in LL, and I was just trying to get to the root of a few things. And one of the things they really talk about is when you actually have a problem, for instance, for lust, it's generally caused from a deep inner rooted pain. And say if you've got a very foul mouth, there's probably anger in there, and you don't know where it is. It may be from a loneliness. It may be from something deep down that you may not even know. But it's right there in the core of who we are, and it's an outpouring. You know, it's from our sinful nature. And that out of our sinful nature, we do things that don't please God. Let me just change the page. Okay, Luke 6, verse 45 says, "For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." And then it goes on to say, it's deep down, and we need to get to the root of this problem. Actually, no, I put that. I just put it in inverted commas, so I did it wrong. Sorry. But Mark 7, verse 20 to 23 says, he went on, "What comes out of you is what defiles you. For from within, out of your hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile you." So the point I'm trying to make is the heart is really, really important. And that we have to actually deal with this. We actually have to deal with this problem that's coming from the inside. But that even with behavior modification, you know, if you try to tackle the issue, a lot of the time that can actually have two roots. You can have pride. You can have it the fact that, hey, I managed to give drinking up. Look at me. I'm amazing. Or on the other side, you can have, you can be very downhearted. You can be in despair because, oh, I can't do it. I've messed up again. I'm screwed up. I can never do this. So if you're just trying to modify the actual thing, you've got a chance of actually being in sin either way. So I think that, you know, that we need to get to the problem. We need to get to the real root of it. You know, we want to be an obedient people. We want to be good and moral and holy. So I think what we really need to do is we need to regenerate our hearts. We need to, in a way, like regrow, restore. When I became a Christian, I don't know for you, but for me, when I became a Christian, I felt as if I had a new heart. Like I had a new heart, a new start, as Pete said. You know, I believe the fact that, you know, I was made a new creation in God's image, and I actually wanted to do good. I wanted to be in church. I wanted to be serving. I was doing 6-7 things a week. I was burning out in a lot of ways. I was doing so much, but I wanted to pray. I wanted to spend time with other Christians. But for me, I let sin creep back into my life. I let sin come back in and got in, and it really, you know, it got deep down in some ways. And so the fact that I didn't want to read my Bible quite as much, I didn't want to spend as much time with Christians, I didn't want to be in church sometimes, oh, Sunday morning, oh, here we go again, oh no, Sunday evening, here we go again. And I really had to repent of these things because it was bad, but I didn't know why. Why was I feeling like this? Why was I Why was I not having that full excitement that I had when I first became a Christian? What was it that had changed? And it was sin. Something was wrong in my heart. Something was wrong deep down, and I needed to get it fixed. I'm living proof that that can actually happen. I went on a healing retreat last year, and God went really, really deep. He went really deep, and he brought some stuff out that I didn't even know I had. And through that, there was healing. And then again yesterday, I went again, and there were just other things just to work on. And I think it's really important that we don't just think that, you know, we do it once and we're fixed. You know, most of us drive in here. Sorry for the ones who don't and the ones who are too young. It's great. You're going to love it when you get to do it. But every year, legally, we have to get an MOT. Why do we get an MOT? Because we need to check our car. We need to make sure that it's okay. We need to make sure that it's functioning properly for our safety. It's why we get it serviced regularly, or we should. There was a guy I worked for. He had his car for 7 years and he'd never had it serviced. And we just couldn't work out how it hadn't just burnt out. But that's, you know, that's his bank balance, not mine. My car is regularly serviced. I enjoy having a fully functional car. But we have the MOT. We have these things to be able to make sure that we're okay. And it's the same with God. We actually need to have daily encounters with him. One person once put it to me that we need to have short accounts of what we do. Every day, even, you know, we have our prayer time or something like that. We short accounts. Lord, I'm sorry I've just done this. I'm sorry I've done that. So you don't get to a week, a month, a year, and you've accumulated all this stuff that you've done. You're like, oh, yeah, God, just forgive all of it. But you never know what in doing some of that stuff, what is actually done deep down. You'll be forgiven. And I believe God is quick to forgive, and he will forgive. But sometimes there's a hurt deep down inside that actually needs to be worked on. But here's where it gets good. Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Wow. Isn't that amazing? And do you know who he was talking about when he was doing this? He was talking about Jesus. That Jesus was going to be the one, and that through his sacrifice, that we were going to be able to have our sins wiped clean. That we're going to be able to have that new heart. And that by the power of the Holy Spirit that's given on the day of Pentecost, we were going to be able to come and actually just receive. The Holy Spirit is there. I had a great time with the Holy Spirit yesterday. I had a great time. I had a great time last week. I went to Naturally Supernatural with Paul Freeland and Jenny Reese, and we went there for the evening. And the lady there, she was an American lady, fantastic speaker, and she was talking on healing, actually. And she really sensed the fact, you know, it'd be good just to have a time of ministry and have some healing. And then during that time, about halfway through, she actually just was like, I believe that God's saying to me that, that, you know, there are some people here that have got problems with their back in particular, especially with their lower back or their sciatic. And I believe the fact that God really wants you to come forward and be bold and step out and come to the front and just sit down on the stage. And then she encouraged all the people who hadn't seen miracles before to come to the front. And I've been involved in stuff like this before, and I've seen, and it's amazing, but it doesn't get old. And they had the people on the stage, and they were praying for them, and she was just showing, because she did this for a healing ministry, but what she was able to do, she was actually saying, look, when she got other people to pray, people who hadn't prayed before, to pray for these people's backs, and you saw their backs sort of realign, and right there in front of us. And it's just so amazing to be able to know the fact that God heals today. God restores today. It's not something that he did just in the book of Acts and in biblical times. It's actually for today. And that out of a new heart, in Proverbs, there are a few things that God talks about with this new heart. You have a heart that is faithful. You have a heart that is humble. A heart that is cheerful. A heart that is teachable. And a heart that is repentant. And I believe that repentance is a huge key in this. That through to get this new heart, that we have to repent. We have to stop having our backs to God and turn back to him. And that in that, he will be faithful to restore. He will be faithful to give you the Holy Spirit. He will be faithful to come in and transform your life. I'm not just saying that for people who aren't Christians to transform, but us as Christians who have been Christians for a year, for 10 years, 30 years, 40 years, whatever it is, that God wants to transform you. He loves us so much for who we are, but he does not want us to stay the same. He wants us to engage with him. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. I don't want to be comfortable, though. I want to be comforted because I know the fact that when I'm stepping out for Christ, that, yeah, there's going to be some rubbish that's going to be thrown my way. There are going to be some hard times. It might be close, you know, in my family, or it might be from outside, but there will be trouble. But I know the fact that the Holy Spirit is going to be there to minister into me, to really challenge me, to engage. In the Bible, it talks about joy. And I heard somebody, when Jesus was in the garden, he was praying in Gethsemane, and he was saying, Lord, you know, if this can be taken off me, Lord, do it. But he said about how he was joyful. If I knew I was about to be flogged and crucified, the last word on my mind would be joyful. If anybody here can say that, then I need to pray for you right now. But joy was in the fact he had the joy in the Lord. He had that joy. He had that affirmation. So I really believe tonight, and I've been praying for this, is that as a group of people, as a group of individuals, from whatever background, from whatever ethnicity, no matter what, God wants to engage with you tonight. He wants to help you get to the root of the problem in the heart, the center of who you are, so that you can have a full life in him, that you can be restored, that relationships can be restored, you can be forgiven, restoration can happen, regeneration can happen. I really believe this, and I really believe that God wants to meet with us tonight. I really believe the Holy Spirit is just waiting for us just to engage. It's like, here I am. I'm here. I'm the gift. Do you want to change? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be forgiven, restored? Because of what Jesus did, I'm here. So I'm gonna close in prayer now. But I'd just like to ask everyone if you could just close your eyes. And as I pray, there may be, the Holy Spirit may start to work on people. Don't be scared. For me, I always had like a real thud on my chest, like I need to respond to something. That might not be the same for everyone, but for me, that's how the Holy Spirit knocks on me. It feels like a thud on my chest. And for other people, it might be in other ways, but this can be an opportunity to respond. This can be an opportunity to be forgiven and restored. To be able to confess stuff that you've never confessed to anyone. Because the release that happens when you confess is so amazing. That you can just see your life and your heart transform. So I'm going to pray now. Father, I thank you that you gave us Jesus. I thank you that when we sinned in the garden, when Adam sinned and sin entered the world, that you had a backup plan, that you had Jesus, that you had an escape route, somewhere that we can now have an opportunity to engage with you. And that your Bible says that you are faithful. You are faithful. And Father, I just ask that you just allow the Holy Spirit just to come in and just touch people's lives. And that we won't be the same. We just will not be the same from this day. And that if people find it hard, that they'll be able to make a stand and just say, no, today I'm going to stop this. I'm going to stop this. I'm going to stop being angry for no reason. I'm going to stop lusting. I'm going to stop looking at pornography. I'm going to stop drinking. Whatever secret sin that is in that needs to come out, I just pray for a release in the name of Jesus. That people here can be restored and that the Holy Spirit will just come in and just wash us clean. Holy Spirit, I invite you in right now. Holy Spirit, come in right now. In Jesus' name I ask. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done.